In this week's episode of Pop Culture Weekly, it's all about National Memorial Day concert. Let's go!
Welcome to Pop Culture Weekly with Kyle McMahon from iHeartRadio. Your pop culture news, views, reviews, and celebrity interviews on all the movies, TV, music, and pop culture you crave weekly. Here's Kyle McMahon.
Excuse me, I had to cough. Hello and welcome to Pop Culture Weekly with Kyle McMahon. I, of course, am Kyle McMahon, and I am so glad to be able to get to hang out with you for the next 45 minutes, hour or so, and talk about all things pop culture. Although this week's episode is all about the National Memorial Day concert on PBS. It, as you know, every year I go, and it is, in my opinion, the most powerful, best tribute to our nation's, you know, heroes, the brave men and women who have given their lives for us to enjoy the freedoms that we do, for me to be able to do this silly show compared to, you know, what they did for our country. And it's just incredible. You can watch it for the next 2 weeks on PBS.org. And it's, I'm telling you, this year is incredible. And guess what? I'm interviewing like all of the performers. I talked with Joe Mantegna and Gary Sinise. I talked with the three-time Emmy winning Gene Smart. I talked with Gil Birmingham once again. Just talked to him a few weeks ago about Under the Banner of Heaven with Andrew Garfield. I talk with Mary McCormick, Rhiannon Giddens, Norm Lewis, Craig Morgan, Pia Toscano, Leah Salonga. So it is just wall-to-wall incredibleness. And because we have so many interviews, let's just get right into it this week, okay? First up, the one and only Joe Mantegna and Gary Sinise.
First of all, thank you both for speaking with me. You have both done the National Memorial Day concert for ever, for, you know, almost every year, pretty much, right?
For a while.
And it's something that you keep coming back to every single year. Why is it so important for you both to make sure that you're here for this?
I remember my first year. Joe asked me if I would come. I have a band. I play a lot for the USO and, you know, play for the troops. And Joe, they were doing a USO segment in the show, and Joe thought it would be a good idea to snag me and have me come and play. So I did. And I hadn't really seen the Memorial Day concert before. It had been on for quite a while, but I hadn't really seen it, or maybe just seen clips or something. When I got here and saw this magnificent setting with thousands of people on the lawn and powerful orchestra and it was so moving and just, you know, so fitting for a national tribute to the men and women who've given their lives in service to our country. So when they asked me to come back and co-host with this good buddy of mine, I couldn't pass it up, and I've been coming ever since. It's a meaningful way to spend this Memorial weekend celebrating and saluting the sacrifices that have been made, and I couldn't think of a better place to be than with my buddy here doing this concert.
I love that. And how about for you, Joe?
Well, I mean, he says it all. I mean, I was fortunate enough to do it about 3-4 years prior to when Gary got here, but I remember Ozzie Davis used to host the show. When he passed away, they asked me if I would host it, and I did host it by myself 1 year. But then I thought, look, there's no patriot, there's no anyone better, especially in my profession, that does more for our military than this guy right here. And I've been an ambassador for his Gary Sinise Foundation. So when I told him, I says, look, we got to bring Gary's band in here, and hopefully it'll lead to something even a little more, which it did. Because I remember after he performed, he looked at me, says, hey, look, if you ever want me to come back, I'm in. I says, well, how about we do this thing together from this point on? And he agreed, and I couldn't be happier, because, like, as I said, I'm just his wingman. This guy does more for our military than anybody in show business. And so I'm just proud to be standing next to him every year.
Well, I'll say it has a lot of personal meaning for us too, because we, for so many years, our families would come with us year after year, and it would be a family weekend. And our families got to know each other. Our uncles who served in World War II got to know each other. And it was just, there's a lot of meaningful memories of being here.
And, you know, I mean, you bring up a great point, Joe, that you have, Gary, you have made a very conscious decision that, you know, you have focused such a huge part of your career on serving those who have served for us, you know, and most people don't make that choice. Why has that been for you? You know, why do you say every day, I would rather do more of this than more of that?
I saw, when I started doing this, I just saw that it could make a difference. It could change things for the better if you just show up and help somebody out. And then I wanted to do more of it and more of it, and it all turned into a full-time foundation of which Joe is a part. And it's just, it's a passionate way to support the men and women who provide our freedom for us. I am passionate about it. And I've met extraordinary people who have inspired me over and over. So I just keep coming back.
I got the absolute honor to talk to General Graham yesterday. And we talked about his story and just absolutely devastating. But what he and his wife do is, I don't know how they do it, but thank God that they do it, because, you know, they're making actual lives and the difference of people that have given their all for us. And you and Gene Smart are telling their story. What is that like for you to, you know, they're heroes to me, you know? What is that like for you to be telling the story of two, you know, people that are changing the lives of so many through telling their own story?
Well, it's a privilege to tell that story, because one thing I've certainly discovered over the years I've been doing this concert is that, you know, Gary and I, and many of us, we make a pretty good living playing pretend, you know, but this one day a year we come here and do this. This is not pretend. We're not acting anything. We're recounting history. And sometimes that history can be very dark and very tragic. And in the terms of the Graham family, they've experienced more tragedy than most people should ever have to. So it's just a privilege to be able to tell their story. And then hopefully we were able to show people that a family can come together and make something positive out of a horrible situation and be able to help others, which they do.
Meaning, finding meaning in mourning is what him and I talked about yesterday. And for you, Gary, you are one of the things that I think was very passionate for you is you're telling the Medal of Honor tribute. And that is a big thing for you personally. You know, you're very passionate about that. What is that like to be able to give a tribute like that?
You know, years ago, my first encounter with the Medal of Honor Society was back in 2004 when I got to present like this. I got to present the stories of about six Medal of Honor recipients at the Ford's Theater for a big ABC special. And after that, I got very involved with the Medal of Honor Society and have befriended so many of our recipients. I know all the guys that were featuring in the Medal of Honor concert. It's an incredible group of Americans. I've been privileged to be a part of the society. I'm on some of their boards and different things. This is a special group of American heroes, and we only have a small number of them, and we're losing them because many of the elderly are passing away. And so the society is getting smaller and smaller. I mean, when I started with the society, there were 110 living recipients when I got involved with them years ago. We have about 66 now living recipients. So to be able to pay tribute to them and to feature the medal and the some of the stories, it's very special, and I was glad that they wanted to do it. This is a perfect place to honor those great American heroes.
I can't thank you both enough for what you do, because you are, for so many, telling the stories of those who have not been able to tell their stories. And, you know, and I think it is so important that we continue to highlight these people that have given everything for us. And so many of their stories have been lost to history, and this is a great way to ensure that their stories are told. So thank you both for what you do.
Thank you. All right. Thank you for having us.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Incredible guys. As you heard, they will be hosting once again for the 2022 National Memorial Day concert on PBS. And I think this is my third time talking with Joe and my second with Gary. My first time talking to them together, though, so that's pretty cool. All right, let's get in right up next with Pia Toscano.
Thank you, Pia, for joining me and speaking with me on iHeartRadio's Pop Culture Weekly. You are performing at the National Memorial Day concert. Tell me what that is like for you. I believe your grandfather was a Marine.
He was a Marine. He fought in World War II. He was a 2-time Purple Heart recipient, and it is the greatest honor. I've performed once before, right off of American Idol, and when I got the email to come back, I was in tears, because, you know, this is a beautiful event. We honor our fallen heroes, and, you know, I remember growing up all the stories my grandpa would tell me and how much he loved our country. So when I get the opportunity to honor our country, it makes me feel so connected to him.
That's beautiful. And, you know, what better place to be able to do it than at, you know, the West Lawn of the U.S. Capitol in Washington, D.C. Like, it's so cool. And then for you to be able to do that, I love that. You know, it's really a tribute to him for you and everybody else that, you know, that in for Memorial Day has, you know, lost their lives, gave their lives for us.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, we honor our troops and the brave men and women who served our country. And, yeah, they deserve all this, you know, and their families.
Yeah, absolutely. We can't forget that. You have, this is your second time. Do you get nervous the second time, or are you just like, oh, I've done that, I'm good, you know?
I'm very calm this time. I feel like this is exactly where I'm supposed to be at this time in my life. So, and you know, when I think about healing with music and being able to honor our country and do a really good thing, it kind of takes away the nerves. When I first did this, I was a nervous wreck, and I just wanted to be great. And of course, I still feel all those things. I care so much, but I get to really take it in now and enjoy it and thank God for placing me here.
That's awesome. And then you have a new single out. And tell me about that. What's that? You know, you must be excited about that.
Oh, I haven't released original music in 6 years. So I'm Good. It was just released yesterday, May 27th. The single and the music video is out. And it's just the journey to finding myself, my self-worth. You know, we go through so much in life. And, you know, we really just need to be our own. Like, we need to really love ourselves and not rely on anybody else to fill that void.
I love, yes. High five on that,
yes.
One. I think we all have that to learn, that, yeah, you know, we rely on somebody, something, oh, yeah, whatever, for our happiness, and yeah, we'll never be happy if
no,
we do that.
No, you can't. You need to find it first here so that you can find that in somebody else. And that was it's my whole album. The album's going to come out in September, but, you know, it's the whole path to finding that within myself. So I'm excited.
Yeah, that is so exciting. And you have also recently done, you did a tour with Andrea Bocelli and David Freak. Was that?
Oh my God. So I mean, I grew up listening. I'm actually performing David's arrangement of God Bless America tonight. So I'm always paying tribute to him. You know, I would watch Oprah as a kid with my mom, and I'd write to him, and my messages would never get to him. And I'd be like, God, I pray for the time I get to perform with David, his songs. And you know, you can never dream too big. Dreams can become a reality if you work. And then Andrea Bocelli too, you know, household name. And when I grew up, and one of the greatest singers in the world.
Absolutely.
And so it's thrilling.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. It's incredible the career that Pia has made for herself after American Idol, isn't it? She's super talented and does an incredible job on National Memorial Day Concert 2022. Next up, let's talk with Rhiannon Giddens. She is a universally acclaimed musician, and she's just a true artist. Like, she does all kinds of different work from her. First of all, she won a Grammy Award for the Carolina Chocolate Drops, and she's been nominated for an additional 6 freaking Grammys. Like, 6 Grammys? Okay. Crazy. And she's just really, really cool. And the song that she's performing is so good. And you might have heard it before. Maybe we'll talk about it. Here's my interview with Rhiannon Giddens.
You are performing, as we just heard, an absolutely beautiful song that you wrote. And you're performing it on the West Lawn of the Capitol. On, you know, for Memorial Day, at the National Memorial Day Concert in Washington, D.C., what is that like for you to have written a song that you'll be performing in the context of all of that?
I mean, it's really great. I wrote the song with my good friend and collaborator, Dirk Powell, for a totally different thing, you know, some years ago. And so having it be in this context really has brought a whole nother side to the song out to me, which I'm really grateful for, because it actually makes it a more powerful moment for me now, and I never get to sing this song, so it's really it fits so well where it is in the program, and I'm really happy to be doing it.
And it's kind of taken on a second life in regards to how it is now going to be resent out to the world.
Yeah, which is exciting, because I think that means that there's something to it when you can. When it can show different facets and mean something different, and that means that maybe it's a song that should be around for a little bit.
Absolutely.
You know, which makes me excited.
Absolutely. And it has that timeless factor, you know, that not just because I think so, but obviously, I mean, here we go, because it was written originally for Nashville, how long ago? It was 5 years?
Yeah, through the TV show, and it meant something quite different there. Right. I mean, obviously it wasn't serious for those characters, but,
right.
You know, quite a different thing altogether, and it's really neat to have it. Yeah, it's just a little bit more profound, or a lot more profound in this moment. Not casting any shade on the TV show, but it means a lot. Yeah.
And how do you feel when, you know, as a songwriter, when you hear somebody else, you know, you write this beautiful song, and some you may sing for yourself, some you may give to others. Mm-hmm. How do you feel when you see somebody else bringing your song to life?
Well, I just had this experience where I've written an opera, I've co-composed an opera, and it just premiered on Friday. And so I wasn't in it, and it was the weirdest experience, and it was wonderful. I really, really enjoyed it. But then the next day I had my own show, and I was so happy to see. You know, it's a good aspect to see that. I think it's great to have both things.
Right.
I think it's great to see that your work can live outside of you. I think that's important as an artist, for me anyway, that I know that my music will, some of it at least, will live on in other people's voices. That means a lot. Because if I'm not around, you know, I'd love for it to still be
absolutely
going on in some way.
And so you do all, you know, you have all these kind of various projects going on, you know. Is that just a reflection of how you are as an artist? You want to do all these projects, or are you just falling into them? Or do you have like a list that you're like, I want to do an opera, I want to work with this person, I want to do a solo album, you know, how do you?
I mean, I don't have a list per se, but these things have been coming to me, and if I haven't done it before, but I think maybe I can, I'm really excited by that. There's an energy to not knowing what the heck I'm doing yet, sort of following my instincts and figuring it out. So whether I do another opera or another ballet, I don't know, because that first one where you're kind of figuring it out as you go, that's something that really gives me a lot of energy, although I think I'll probably will write another opera, but you know,
awesome.
That'll be, you know, another time down the road. But you know, there is something to me about, you know, not repeating myself. Mm-hmm. I don't really like doing the same thing over and over again, so it's kind of important for me. I don't search it out, they just tend to come to me, and I just go, okay, yes, okay, now, how do I do this, you know? So.
And do you feel, like, nervousness when you're kind of venturing into, I mean, because, you know, it seems in my mind that writing an opera is much different than writing an album or a song or whatever. Are you like, oh my God, what did I get myself into? Or do you get nerves, or are you just like, let's do it?
Oh, I'm like, I go, oh my gosh, that sounds amazing. And then I freak out. And then until I figure out who my collaborator is. So I'm a real collaborator, you know, and what I like to do is I know what I do well and I figure out what I don't know how to do. And then I bring somebody in who can do that.
Awesome.
So for the opera, it was Michael Abels, who did the film score for Jordan Peele's movies, Get Out. And, you know, and he's just a brilliant composer and he was just a great collaborator. So that's what I do when I do the ballet. Okay, like, who can I get to do this with me? Because I know what I can bring and it's important and unique to me.
Yeah.
But then that can, you know, then meet somebody else's, like, brilliance, and then we can make something even better together.
I love it. And what can we expect next from you?
Oh, well, I'm working on another album.
Okay.
So I kind of want to get back to, I've been doing so many sort of big projects and educational things that I want to get back to just putting out a killer album of music and touring it and, you know, just getting back on the road.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for speaking with me, iHeartRadio's Pop Culture Weekly. I really appreciate it, and I can't wait till everybody hears you sing this beautiful song.
Well, so, thanks. Looking forward to it.
Of course.
Love her. Rhiannon is so talented. And again, that song, oh my God, wait till you see it. Go to pbs.org, click on National Memorial Day Concert, and you can still stream the whole thing. Her performance alone is worth it. I mean, everybody is amazing, but that song is just so, so good. And I love it. And then let me know what you think. Oh, and by the way, you can use our talkback feature. If you're listening on the iHeartRadio app, which I know a number of you do from our statistics, use that button. It's the talk back button, and it gets emailed to me, and I can listen right away. It's like sending me a voicemail. I mean, it is sending me a voicemail, and you never know. You just might end up on this show. So use that talk back feature. And if you're not on the iHeartRadio app listening, you can go to podcast.popcultureweekly.com, and there is a talk back button there that you can do the same. Okay? So let's keep on going. Next up, I am speaking to him once again, and he is, this, you know, one of the co-stars of the Twilight franchise, and he's been in The Lone Ranger and Rango. You may have seen him in House of Cards and one of my favorites, Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, and maybe you know him as one of the stars of that little show Yellowstone on the Paramount Network. He plays just a little character called Thomas Rainwater. Such an awesome actor, and I really, really, really enjoyed speaking with him last time, and I think you'll enjoy this conversation as well. Here he is, Mr. Gil Birmingham.
We are here for the National Memorial Day concert on the West Lawn of the U.S. Capitol. You are telling a powerful story. Tell me about that, you know, that story and why that resonates for you. Why it's important to tell that story.
I've had the privilege of honoring a lot of people don't realize that, you know, the highest percentage of volunteers are Native Americans. And it's always been that way. We've always had a deep respect and an obligation and responsibility to protect this country, you know, the land that we've originated from. So it's wonderful that we get to honor one of our own.
And his story is such a powerful one. And he, you know, he had a generational, you know, it was generational for him in the fact that he had family that served as well.
I had that military experience through my father, but Francis goes back to World War One. I think his great grandfather served in that war, and then an uncle in World War Two, Vietnam. Him personally, two sons, you know, that have gone to Afghanistan and Iraq. So it's generational, you know, and I think that's important that people understand his history with that and the proudness that they have about serving generationally.
And what does it mean for you, you know, to be here on the West Lawn of the Capitol on Memorial Day, telling such a powerful and important historical story that's important to, you know, not only us as a people, but us as a country?
Oh, wow. I mean, I'm learning more and more as I'm here and the spirit of it all. And it's just, it's amazing because I think it's the heart and the soul of what the families and the servicemen, you know, and servicewomen have provided, you know, for us to have this life that we have in this country and all the sacrifices that have been made. And, you know, to pick one specific day to celebrate that or to honor it is really important. And because the family can come together, all those who have suffered, you know, who may feel alone, can come here and know that they're not, you know, and that they're embraced with all the suffering that they may have endured, and that there's a reason and a meaning behind it all.
I can't thank you enough for what you're doing and telling this, you know, his powerful story. And, you know, I've been saying the last couple of days that there's so much power in telling these stories that some of them could be lost forever to history. So it's important that we take these stories and keep speaking them out so they aren't lost, you know?
Yes. Just like it's important for the servicemen to hear their stories, you know, because oftentimes they don't share them because it's almost a stigmatization and it's a reliving for them, you know, and that's not a safe place. And here it is a safe place.
Thank you so much. I can't thank you enough for your time and for what you're doing.
My pleasure.
Thank you, sir. All right. Mr. Gil Birmingham. Love, 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 love him. He's always a delight. And, by the way, if you didn't hear my interview with him and Andrew Garfield, you can see that or see it or hear. Actually, you could see it on the website podcast.popcultureweekly.com and then just search Gil Birmingham or Andrew Garfield or just go back a few episodes and you'll see it. I'll also have the link for that in the show notes. But I talked to them about the FX Limited series Under the Banner of Heaven. Oh, wow. Really, really, really crazy, powerful show. So in any event, that was Mr. Gil Birmingham. And then last, but certainly not least, she has been nominated for 11 Emmy Awards. 11 Emmy Awards. Okay. That's nuts. She has won 4 times. Twice for her guest star role on Frasier, once in Samantha Who, and most recently for her show on Now Hacks. She has been nominated for a Tony for the Broadway revival of The Man Who Came to Dinner. She won an Independent Spirit Award. She won a Screen Actors Guild Award. She won the Critics' Choice Television Award twice. Once for Fargo and once for Watchmen. And by the way, she was on 24. Love that freaking show. And I loved her as Martha Logan. And by the way, of course, she plays Charlene Fraser Stillfield on Designing Women, which if you haven't seen that show, you can go and stream right now. Anyway. I love her to death. She's amazing. She's a legend. She's an icon. The one and only Jean Smart. First of all, thank you so much for speaking with me. You are absolutely amazing. And I can't thank you enough. I love all of your work is amazing. Hacks and 24 and everything. Designing Women. Today, we are here at the West Lawn of the U.S. Capitol National Memorial Day concert, and you are telling a insanely powerful story of loss and tragedy from these two very special people, the Grahams. Tell me how that is for you to do that on Memorial Day for these two special people.
Well, I know just getting through rehearsal was difficult enough. I know how emotional it's going to be tonight, especially when Major General Graham and his wife, Carol, are here. I'm not even going to try to predict, but it is a story of such incredible courage on their part that have taken something so unfathomably painful and turned it into something so valuable and so helpful. I mean, I cannot say enough about how much I admire them.
Yeah, and I talked to Major General Graham yesterday, and I said, how do you do it? How do you get out of bed, you know, and do it? And he said he finds strength in, somebody told him once that he is, his boys are helping people today, you know, and it's through him. And that's so true,
that's,
you know,
exactly.
It really is.
And that's exactly what I want to say to them when I meet them tonight is, or tomorrow, is that through them, their boys have just had, you know, such an impact on the world. I mean, that's got to be hopefully comforting, you know?
Yeah. And for me, I lost my mom 1 year ago to pancreatic cancer. You had a recent horrible loss. You did. And I'm so sorry for that.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you. What are you learning about grief and mourning and how we move on? Move on meaning we'll never move on from our loved ones, but move on meaning get up out of bed, go back to work. What have you learned so far on your grief journey?
That grief is different for every single person and every single situation. For me, having something I had to do, but I had no choice, was actually helpful, even though it was difficult. But I had to finish my show. I had to get up every morning and take my youngest to school. And otherwise, I probably would have stayed in bed for a long time. You know, so it's, when people tell me I'm strong, sometimes I say, well, I don't know if I'm strong. I didn't have a choice. You just do what you have to do. But I will never, you know, people have to do it their own way, and I would never question anybody's way of dealing with loss, you know, because it's, you can't put yourself in somebody else's shoes. You just can't.
Yeah. There's, I'm doing the series for iHeart called Death, Grief, and Other Shit We Don't Discuss. And it's 13 episodes, and it goes from the beginning of my mom's diagnosis to beyond.
Oh, good for you.
And that was my, one of the episodes is called Finding Meaning in Mourning. So what I'm doing is, at the beginning of each episode, I'm telling my mom's story, and then the second half of the episode, I am talking with subject matter experts and people like the Grahams that, you know, to speak to that part aspect of this process. And the thing that I've learned is there is no process. There is no guidebook, you know? It's such a personal journey for every one of us.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and you have to be careful sometimes when you talk to people who are grieving and not, you know, because I do the same thing. You know, we all do. We say, oh, I know, I've lost my dad, or I've lost me. And you can't really say that, because every relationship is different. Losing our parents is, for better or worse, it is the natural order of things. Our parents are supposed to go before us. So that is very different than losing a mate of 35 years, which is also incredibly different. God forbid, I don't know that, but to lose a child to me is unfathomable.
Yeah.
So I lost my sister too several years ago, and I still miss her so much. You know, she's the person I would have turned to in this last year after I lost my husband. She's the one who would have been there for me. So I've really especially missed her. But it's different. Losing a sibling is different than losing a parent. It's a very strange feeling. It's different than losing a spouse. It's losing, you know.
Yeah. And finally, you know, this is a Gold Star family. What is your message to the Gold Star families out there that their story has not been yet told?
Yeah, I would say share it as much as you feel like sharing it. Share it with whoever you can. Reach out to people like the Grahams who've been through what you've been through, because nobody else will understand what you're going through. I mean, both my parents served in World War II, and my dad had a close brush with the hereafter when he was real young in the Navy and when he was in the Pacific. And I'm thinking, well, you know, thank God. I mean, I wouldn't be here, you know, but it's Yeah, and I was actually a Marine Corps wife for a couple of years when I was very young, right after towards the end of the Vietnam War. And so I have a lot of respect for anyone who does. And my grandmother and her sister joined the Army during World War II.
Wow, that's incredible.
And they just felt like they had to do their part, and they did.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Gene, thank you so much. You are an American icon, an American treasure, and you really are. And to tell
makes
this...
makes me sound very old.
No, not
just
at all.
Like that building.
And when I say that, I mean your body of work is incredible and all the things. I just love all your projects. And thank you for speaking with me.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it. May I give you
a hug?
Pleasure. Thank you so much.
It's a hug during COVID.
I know.
All right, that is the one and only Jean Smart. I was supposed to talk to her back for Hacks, and why wouldn't I want to talk to the legendary Jean Smart? But I was recording this other show that I've been working on that I can't wait to tell you about, and I'll have an announcement on that very soon. But in the meantime, this happened, so how cool is that I got to talk to her anyway? All right, so that is the show for today, or for this week. Make sure that you watch National Memorial Day Concert on PBS. It's absolutely incredible. Like I said, you can go to pbs.org and watch it there for 2 weeks, okay? Make sure you do it. It is a powerful tribute to our nation's heroes. You know, they really are our heroes. We can't do what we do, and I mean any of us, without the sacrifices, the ultimate sacrifice that these heroes made for us. So with that, have a happy Memorial Day, and let me know what you think of the show, and I will see you next week. Talk to you soon. All right. I love you. We out.
Thank you for listening to Pop Culture Weekly. Hear all the latest at popcultureweekly.com.
Do 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 do